All right, Zayo family, how we doing? It's good to see you guys. Welcome to Zayo Church. Got a great Sunday planned. As you know, baptism after service, and today is Commitment Sunday. Excited about that. I'll talk about that in a moment. But first, I just want to celebrate Trunk or Treat. That was just an incredible outreach here. We had just shy of 500 people come out to our Trunk or Treat. Incredible event, and so thank y'all so much for participating in that. We were jam-packed, and it was a blast, so thanks for coming to that. Okay, I want to talk about a couple things. First, I want to talk about our Legacy Golf and Gala Tournament that's coming up. We're a month away, church, okay? So now's the time. I know we're a last-minute type of church. Listen, I came before you for Trunk or Treat the week of and said we have like 6 trunks. I said, we need some help. It's the week of, and they said, oh, now we sign up the week of. We had over 30 trunks, okay? So I know how our church is. We have a month for our Legacy Golf Tournament and Gala. We are encouraging you to sign up now. Because we got to get our numbers in. But we have a golf tournament. If you're a golfer, you want to play golf. If you want to sponsor a team, your company wants to sponsor a team, you want to sponsor a hole, we have all sorts of options for you. We're going to play a little thing behind me, a little recap of last year's. But we'd love for you to sign up for our golf tournament. It's at Horseshoe Bay Resort. Be a great time, December 1st. And then after the tournament, it's for everybody. So who's a golfer in here? Seriously? I see a lot of hands, okay? Thank you. I see a lot of hands, but no responses. Golfers alike. Makes sense. We're not putting right now. You can make noise. Okay, how many of y'all like to eat food? How about that? Okay, there we go. We invite you to come after the tournament for our legacy dinner. It's one of the biggest things we do all year long, probably the biggest event we throw, and we have such a great time. The Cowboy Auctioneers come out. We have a great meal at Horseshoe Bay Resort, and they auction off a bunch of fun stuff, and I'm here to tell you we're auctioning off a dog. So this is Mulligan, right? Mulligan? Does anybody want Mulligan? This is Mulligan. We bought Mulligan, so Mulligan's gonna live auction. If you want a dog, Mully, it's your chance. We have hunting packages that we're gonna auction off. We have guns we're gonna auction off. Vacation package. It's gonna be a great time together. And then we have a big raffle. We have a gun only raffle. We have a ton of stuff that we're raffling, and we're just gonna have a great time. You can come and not spend any money. Just come and be with us. That's fine too. You can buy a table with your business if you want, or your family. Just start signing up. Another cool thing is we have a partnership with RAD. They're gonna watch your kids for free that night, and so it's not for free. You're gonna pay for it. But it's all Zayo Kids. It's free, but you have to pay for it. So there's a catch. So that was for free. Anyways, there you go. So please sign up for the Legacy Golf Tournament Gala. There is a flyer in the seat back pocket in front of you, and that has some information on there. You can scan that QR code, or you can talk to Haley at the golf table on your way out. But let's start signing up for this. Y'all excited about it? It's a great time. You're gonna want to be there. Okay. Let's take some time to talk about our For the Kingdom campaign. In the seat back pocket, we have the commitment cards, but hopefully you have come prepared, you are prayed up, and you're ready to make your offering today. So as you know, in the past month, we've been talking about this is our legacy season. Every year we do this, but we are in, we extended our campaign to a fourth and final year for the Kingdom campaign to build what God's asked us to build. But what we're building, as you know, is about 50,000 square feet. It's just a few miles down the road at Fall Creek and 71. It's three separate buildings, not that yet. It's three separate buildings. And we're building this master plan community that the Lord has led us to do. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. That you can see online, or you can see the images behind me. But we're very excited about what God's calling us to build. So we have been in this For the Kingdom campaign, and over the season of this campaign, now you can give me that number slide if you don't mind, brother. We have received over $6.1 million in commitments from you, the church, and out of that 6.1, we've received in actual dollars a little over $3 million. It's amazing what God has done in the 3 years. But today you have come prepared, and I'll give you, we get to see kind of what the Lord's leading us to do now. We're asking everyone to get involved. And so everyone should fill out one of these cards. Hopefully you came prepared. But the top two boxes, just to remind you how to fill this out, the top two boxes are if you have made a pledge to this campaign in the past 3 years, let us know what your original campaign number is and how much of that you intend to fulfill. The bottom box is for everybody who has already fulfilled their commitment, or you have not made a commitment at all and you're willing to make a one-year pledge. So that bottom box is for anyone who is new to this and would like to make a one-year pledge to our For the Kingdom campaign. Or if you are like me and my family, we have already completed our pledge, the three-year pledge, we're going to make a one-year pledge down here. And so just encourage you to fill this out if you haven't already. Hopefully you are prepared. And we're going to collect these at the end of the service today, all right? Now, the fun part. What are we doing? What's next? Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? All right. Over the past few months, I've told you that we have been working hard on next steps. And today, I'm excited to tell you we have finalized those next steps. And I'm excited to tell you what our plan is in the near future here. You've seen us grow. We are exploding. I mean, first service is just as big, if not bigger, than the second service, and we just continue to grow. And you've seen what the Lord is asking us to do and leading us to do. It's a big vision. It's a big build. But before we get to that piece, we knew there was a leap that we needed to take, an intentional step, a strategic step, and we are to take that now. This is the next step. So as you know, we've been planning for the big red barn in that project. And when the updated numbers came back with inflation to rent it, to renovate it, the cost was far more than we had expected it to be. And so we're not going to move forward with the big red barn. And I got to thank Frank and his partnership. He's such a great member of our church, and I want to honor him. But due to the situation, we had to take a step back, and our team got together, and we prayed about this and had to ask some honest questions. And here's what we asked ourselves. Do we invest into something else, someone else's property, or do we figure out a plan to start investing in ours? And that's when it became clear, and the theme has been to control our own destiny, and it's time to use our own funds and start building on our land now. So, the big announcement is we are going to take a phased approach, and we're going to build phase one on our land now. That's the first step. So, I want to show you kind of what we came up with. This is the site plan of our build. What we are going to do, phase one of this that we are already working on now, is we are going to build the next generation building. That's about a 12,000 square foot building. And that building is right where the next gen building will be one day. But we're going to build that now. It's a 12,000 footprint building, but our architects have designed it for this phase. It's actually going to be a two-story building. It's going to equal about 17,000 square feet. It's right in the place of where the kids' building will be in the future, so it will never move. But now it'll be more than just a kids' building. It's going to be a kids' building as well as our main auditorium, classrooms, a cafe, and our church offices. It's going to be this beautiful, modern, metal building with beautiful glass. It's going to look awesome, and it's going to be designed to showcase the incredible hill country views that we love and that our land features very nicely. But before we build that land, we're actually going to go and develop the entire land. The parking, utilities, septic, well, drainage, absolutely everything, so that when it's finished, we'll be in a great place to continue to grow and expand, and that land will be a great foundation for what's coming in the future. This is more than just a building. This is a strategic first step towards what we have, what we're envisioning and what God's asked us to build. So what it's going to do right now, I want to just kind of tell you some numbers. Even with overflow, we fill out the porches with overflow, and I always like to greet those on the overflow spaces. But we run about 230 adults, not kids, adults only, per service. That's about 460 adults every single Sunday in about 2,000 square feet. And I'm not kidding, that's about how much space we got. In the new facility, we will host over 500 adults per service comfortably in our new auditorium. So just some things to celebrate. You're going to have some space. Okay, that's good, right? Some space, some controlled AC, right, and heating. That'll be nice. We're going to have better parking. Listen, when there was a year here where they have their ag exemption and they had cows roaming the property. And when you parked your car, you don't like the mud. You had to avoid the cow droppings too. So, okay, we've upgraded, all right? We're going to have, multiple bathrooms. We're going to continue to have wonderful coffee and a coffee bar, plenty of kids' spaces, classrooms. And what I'm very, very excited about is something that I've wanted to do for a while is we're going to have a dedicated middle school ministry on Sunday mornings. So why are we calling this phase one? Because it is going to be a phased approach. It's smart. It's scalable. It's something we can grow into. And we can do this for a fraction of the cost. This is the good news, church. Originally, the full build was approaching $28 million, and nobody stepped up and said they'd pay for it, so we had to figure out something else. But this phase is $6 to $7 million, including land, all in. And here's the great news about it is it gets us on our land right now, not years from now, but right now. We get to get on our land. And right now, just thinking about that cost, we already have $6 million in commitments. So if those funds come in, we can build this phase one, debt-free, completely in cash. No loans, no waiting, just faith. And when the time comes, this is the thing that I get excited about, the full build to be ready for the next phase, and we'll do it from a strong equity position. So we're looking, this time frame, we're looking about 18 months to complete for an Easter 2027 move-in is what we're shooting for, is what they're telling us. So no more 3 to 5 years. This is happening right now. This is real. This is the plan. So what do we do now? Easter. I thought we were going to be out of here. We did too, and we were hoping. But because of our great landlords who actually have been very, very good to us, we came up with a game plan to help us stay here and be in a comfortable place as we continue to grow, because that's continuing to happen. So we're making some changes. And the first thing you saw is the portable. You see the portable out there? We have an amazing group of volunteers who have been coming up every day and renovating that thing. It's a completely unfinished building. They've had to do the electric, the drywall, the insulation, the floors. They're having to put everything in. A wonderful member of our church donated the mini split for it. So we're getting that portable up and ready. It'll be finished this week, ready for kids' church next week. And thank you to the team that is doing that. You guys are awesome. There's also some changes we're making in the back of the kids' room. There's a barn down there we're going to renovate for a little cost. They're calling it the Bible Barn. It's a place that kids can have kind of an outdoor classroom out there and use. And so that's exciting. And then the big news for me on this is I have always wanted to make some changes in here. We just didn't get the approvals. And I was always told no. And finally, we sent Pastor Dustin, and Dustin got a yes. So we know the secret weapon now is Pastor D. And so what we have got approvals for is we are going to flip the room in just a few short weeks, months here. We've got to get a game plan for it, but we're going to flip the room. We're able now to take out this kitchen. The stage will be over here. We're going to take out this wall, open up this room, kind of form a little cross here, really. And we'll fit about 50 more seats here. And so we'll be able to fit a little bit more people, a little more comfortable in this space. So we're making some changes even now. All right, that is where we're going, okay? This is what we're doing. Make some changes here, build the metal building in the kids' spot, and build into that, and hopefully we can do all that debt-free. It's exciting, church. Are you excited? Yeah. Amen. Okay, that's the news. That's the news. Let's jump into the message. Y'all ready? So today, I want to conclude a series entitled Faithful and Fruitful. I'm excited about the impact of this series, that it can have on your life if you let it. I really do believe a series like this has the ability to transform your life if you allow it to. I believe that this series can be powerful. It can be transformative. But as always, a series that has the power to transform you also has the power to be dismissed by you. You can hear a series like this on finances and say, oh, that's the church shouldn't be talking about that. That's not for me, or I don't have finances, or I'll make my own decisions. But what I want to talk through and hopefully have through this series, I believe it really has the ability to transform your life, and the enemy knows that. And he's going to do all that he can do to distract you from what God has for you today. He'll cause you to be offended. He'll cause you to say, man, why does the church talk about this? Why are we talking about this? I don't have, make excuses. Because that's the enemy. That's the enemy whispering into your ear. Because the enemy doesn't care if you come to church. He just doesn't want you to be changed in church. And the enemy knows that there is a transformative message in this. So don't shake off this series. Don't shake off this final message. Press in to receive. And I say this every week, but I'm telling you, I don't want anything from you. I only want something for you. And that is to be faithful and fruitful. I want to have a faithful and fruitful church. Those two go hand in hand. The Bible's very clear about that. In our theme verse, Matthew 25, verse 21, it says this, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. You'll become fruitful. This is the words of Jesus. When you are faithful with the little bit that you have been given, you will be given much more. However, the opposite is true as well. When you're not faithful with the little that you are given, you will not be given any more. And in fact, the Bible's pretty clear about this. What you have been given will actually be taken away from you. This is kingdom math. This is the promise of Jesus that when you are faithful, you then will be fruitful. In week one, we kicked off the series by looking at that verse, the second part of that verse, that you have been faithful over a little bit. We talked about what it looks like to be faithful with little. We used one verse. Hopefully you've remembered it because that's all I used in that message. Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is one hand with toil than two hands or with tranquility. I didn't remember it. With tranquility than two hands with toil and chasing after the wind. That's what I get for reading it, not reciting it. We talked about cutting back, clearing out, and paying off. And then in week two, Pastor Jess came, our overseer, and he was here, and he talked about how Jesus came to the fishermen after they got in after a long night and caught nothing, and he said, go lower your nets. And they did, and when they at the commandment of Jesus, they lowered their nets, and they pulled in the biggest haul they'd ever seen. And Pastor just talked about this, that when you're faithful with what Jesus is asking you to do, Jesus will always reward your faithfulness. And just challenged us that we're not just building a building to have a big church. Man, we're being faithful to what God is asking us to do, and we are lowering our nets, trusting it up to him. Last week, week three, I talked about being fruitful when you are faithful. God talked about how much of a blessing it is to give. Jesus said, you are more blessed to give than you are to receive. We talked about what the tithe is and how to honor God with the tithe. We went through that. We talked about how to tithe unto the Lord. And when we tithe unto the Lord, he blesses our finances. However, if you steal from the Lord the tithe, it is his, so you have to steal it. He has no choice but to put a curse over your finances. So we learned how to be generous because we are more blessed to give than it is to receive. And today I'm going to conclude this series talking about how tomorrow matters. Because what we do today determines the impact we can have tomorrow. We've been talking all series long about being faithful in what God has given us, but today I want to talk about why. Why does all of this matter? Why does it matter to even be fruitful? It matters because we're not just living for ourselves. We are living for a future generation. So let me give the theme verse for the message today. It's actually the theme verse for our For the Kingdom campaign. It's Psalm 102:18. It says this, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. That's what we're trying to do in this campaign. It's the heart for this message today. What do we do now? What do we build now? What do we give now? It's not just for us. It's for those who are not even here yet. So if you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is this, For a Future Generation. For a Future Generation. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for our people. I'm so grateful that you've called us to this area, to this community, Lord, thank you for our church family. Lord, may we be faithful and fruitful. And may we live for tomorrow in mind, for a future generation. Would you speak to our hearts right now in Jesus' name? Everybody said, amen. Amen. As a culture, we are obsessed with instant gratification. Anybody else? We want it now. If we do something, we want the results now. We want it now, like not yesterday, not tomorrow. We want it now. We want it right now. We're so focused on the immediate that we rarely stop to even consider the eternal. We are so spoiled on getting what we want because we want it right now, right now. And technology hasn't helped us. It's trained us to expect speed over substance. For instance, maybe you can resonate with me on these examples. If I send a text message, I expect bubbles instantly. Anybody else? Anybody else? If I don't see those bubbles, we are not friends, and you are too busy to be my friend, because I want a text back right now. If I'm streaming a video online and I get the circle of death buffer, anybody else? I hate that. I lose my mind because why? I want the video right now. If I'm watching a show and they leave me on a cliffhanger, I don't want to wait another week. I'm going to go on Reddit and find out what's happening, right? I want to know the results now. If I order something on Amazon, I don't want to wait 2 days. I want same day shipping. Anybody else? I want same day shipping. I want it now. If I attend a church with a building campaign and it is packed like it is every week, I don't want to wait 18 months. I want it now. I'm with you on that one, actually. I want it now. We've been so conditioned to want things immediately. We want it now. It's become so difficult to see past the now and to see into the future. Come on, we have been trained to live in the tyranny of the immediate, of what's urgent, of what's in front of you. We live in a right now world trying to serve an eternal God. Those two do not go hand in hand. Sociologists call this, I love this, the temporal discounting. Temporal discounting. This is the tendency to value short-term rewards over long-term impact. I want short-term results opposed to the long-term impact. I want it now. Temporal discounting. And nowhere is this seen more clearly than in our finances. A few statistics for you. According to a report posted by PNC Bank, 67% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That's 2 out of 3 people. A Bankrate survey found that 57% of Americans couldn't cover an $1,000 emergency without going into debt. And yet, according to the Lending Tree, the average American household carries over $7,000 in credit card debt, not counting car loans or mortgages. We have been conditioned to live for the now rather than to prepare for the next. We consume rather than conserve. We spend rather than sow. Now, let me be clear. I'm not making any judgments here. We're all doing what we got to do to survive. Most people are doing their best to stay afloat in this very expensive world and economy. But whether we're struggling to make ends meet or doing well financially, the mindset is often the same, I have found. We plan for the comfort of today rather than the impact for tomorrow. The comforts of today take precedent. And that's why this message matters. Because when we truly believe that tomorrow matters and that what we do today is for a future generation, it changes how we live today. It changes what we do today. It changes how we give today. It changes how we even see what is in our hands. Proverbs 21:20 says this, "The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get." I want to be wise according to that verse because I don't want to be a fool. And a fool spends whatever he gets. I love this verse. This is an interesting verse. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant. The Bible's about to tell you, you can learn something from the ants. You sluggard. That's just offensive. That's just like a strong comment right there. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Watch this. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Even the ant knows that tomorrow matters and that there's wisdom in planning for the future. And then we see this parable that Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew. It's actually where we get our theme verse for our series. And to help me illustrate this, I'm going to have our volunteers come on up. Give it up for my volunteers. What's up? Hey, you going to help me with this? I know. Here we go. I'm going to tell this scripture to you. This is the parable. This is where we get our theme verse for the series, but I'm going to kind of illustrate this with this group here, all right? Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibility. I'm the man. These are the servants. But I'm a nice servant. To one, he gave $5,000. Mark, take care of that, brother. To another, he gave $2,000. Tech, there you go, buddy. And to another, the one he trusted the least, he gave $1,000. Depending on their abilities, he is not. Never mind. Then he left. Right off, the first servant, Mark, Pastor Mark, he went to work and he doubled his master. Faithfulness today builds fruitfulness tomorrow. So I know you might be wondering, man, Pastor, why are we talking about finances in church? Don't we do this like with financial planners and stuff? The Bible talks a lot about finances. And we just read a scripture about how much finances and what you've been given, it matters to Jesus. And if it matters to Jesus, it should matter to us. And that's why we need to talk about these things. So let me give you three principles on stewarding our finances for a future generation. Here's the first point right here. I'm going to crank through this, church. First thing is this. Think legacy, not luxury. Think legacy, not luxury. Here's the idea on this point. A fool lives for comfort. The wise live for contribution. A fool lives for comfort now, a wise person lives for contribution. We live in a generation that defines success by what you consume, what you're wearing, how you look, what you own, how nice is it. It's what you consume. It's not what you contribute. Culture says, get more, get the finest, get the nicest, upgrade, upgrade, treat yourself. But the kingdom of God says, be faithful. Multiply what God has given you and leave something that outlasts you. Proverbs 21, 20 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. According to a CNBC stat, over 60% of Americans admit that they live beyond their means. And yet, less than one in three households have any kind of long-term saving strategy. We're living in a consume now, worry later culture. We'll figure it out. Well, Dr. John Maxwell says it this way, you will never change your life until you change something you do daily. I can go for anything. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine. If you spend everything that you get now today, there will be nothing to sow tomorrow. Luxury fades, church. Legacy remains. Luxury fades, legacy remains. There's a famous Jewish proverb that says it all. This really is the theme of the whole message. I love this. This has been with me all week. A society grows, watch this, this is beautiful. A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in. That's deep. A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in. That's legacy. It's not about what you build for yourself. It's about what you build for someone else. If you live for luxury, you'll consume what God has given you. But if you live for legacy, watch this. You'll multiply what God's given you. It doesn't go away. It's multiplied. We are called to live with open hands. God, what I have is yours. What I have is yours. But so many of us live with closed fists. It's mine. It's mine. Like a toddler, mine. Closed fists can't receive new blessings, but open fists can, and they'll build a legacy. Think legacy, not luxury. Here's a second point. Steward what you've been given. We've all been given something. We look around the room and around our society. We all have different things. We've all been given different things. But I love this thought right here. God doesn't expect equal amounts, but he does expect equal faithfulness. Equal faithfulness, not equal amounts. Back to our parable of the talents. Here's what Jesus says to the two that steward what they've been given. It's the theme verse for the series, Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge over much. That's the heart. This is not a parable about money. It's a parable about management. The issue was never how much they were given. It was what they did with what they'd been given. Barna Research found that only 10% of Christians tithe regularly. They say 8 to 10% of Christians tithe regularly. But watch this, 100% of the church expects God to bless them abundantly. So I want to say a strong statement here. God blesses faithfulness, not fantasies. Annie Stanley says it this way, how you handle your money is one of the best outside indicators of what's going on inside your heart. God doesn't bless what we intend to do. God blesses what we actually do. There's a story about a small town farmer who tithed faithfully every week. And a neighbor asked, why do you give that much to the church? The farmer smiled and said, because I'd rather have 90% blessed. We talked about that last week. I'd rather have 90% blessed by God than 100% left up to me. That's stewardship, not ownership. You don't have to be rich to be generous. You just have to be faithful with what's in your hand. We all have something in our hand. We got to be faithful with what's in our hand. So here's what I believe. If God can get it through you, he'll keep sending it to you. And I've used that illustration before that on one side, you have all the need in the world, all the poverty, all the things that need to be met. On one side of the world, you have all the resources on the other. God holds the cattle. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. How does God get kingdom resources to the world in need? Because the last time I had checked, he's not raining down, you know, $100 bills from heaven. He sends it through the church. He's looking for kingdom-minded people to stand in the middle that he can fund kingdom resources through. If God can get it through you, he'll keep sending it to you. So think legacy, not luxury. Steward what you've been given. Here's the final point for this morning. Sow today so others can reap tomorrow. Sow today so others can reap tomorrow. Here's the big idea of the day. Legacy is built when we plant seeds we may never see grow. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We want immediate results. But in God's economy, sowing always comes before reaping. But we don't like that. We want to reap. And once we reap, maybe then we'll sow. That's not how God works. Sowing always goes before reaping. And according to Giving USA, nearly 80% of all charitable giving in America comes from individuals, not corporations. It's an amazing statistic. And the most generous group in that statistic is not the wealthiest. It's middle-income believers who consistently sow into the kingdom. It's not about how much you have. It's about how much you believe God can do with what you give. I heard this powerful story. It's resonated with me all week, and I think it's because of where we are today and what we're trying to do. But listen to this. There's a church in Wales that started in the 1800s. A few families got together and they prayed that God would use them to reach their small coal mining town. So they built a one-room chapel that can fit 60 people, kind of like this, you know? They never saw revival in their lifetime, but their great-grandchildren did. That same chapel became the birthplace of the 1904 Welsh Revival, which ended up sending missionaries all over the world, and it even influenced the Azusa Street Revival here in the U.S. Those families sowed seeds that they never saw grow, but they did it in faith, and because they did it in faith, God multiplied it. Millions of people reaped the harvest. That's what it means to live and to give for a future generation. We are sitting, I love this concept, we are sitting in the shade trees that we did not plant. You have shade because somebody else sowed seeds. You've received Christ. Your kids have received Christ. Your grandchildren have received Christ because somebody planted a seed. We're not just giving to a building. We're giving so that our kids and our grandchildren will have a place to worship. I am just that crazy to believe that, because I don't really want to build this just for my career, that I pastored a great church and got to have this great building and then that was it. I'm really truly believing that this is for future generations. You're not just sowing into a campaign, you're sowing into God's kingdom for kingdom impact. One day, our names will be long forgotten on this earth, but what we built on this earth, what we sacrificed, what we gave, will still be speaking long after we're gone. That's what legacy is. Legacy is not about what you leave behind you. It's about what you set in motion when you go. We're not here to build monuments unto ourselves. We're here to build momentum for the next generation. And by the way, there is, I feel the momentum coming and being built in our generation right now. I feel like there is a revival coming. This next generation is on fire for the Lord. Psalm 102, I say it again, 18, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. That verse means what we do now, right here, right now, can cause people not even born yet to one day lift their hands and worship Jesus. Your generosity and your faith and your obedience, it becomes the spark that lights someone else's fire decades from now. You're sitting under the shade of a tree that someone planted a long time ago. Years ago, there was a small group of families gathered together in a living room in Lake Travis. Eight years ago, they prayed, they gave, they dreamed about a church that did not exist yet. They had no idea that one day you would come and you would sit here and your life would be changed. You would come and receive Christ. Your marriage would be healed. You receive healing of your body. They had no idea. They didn't do it for recognition. They didn't do it for comfort. They did it because they believed in a future generation. And now that mantle is on us. And one day, just believe this, one day, our kids and their kids will sit under the trees that we planted. Worship in the rooms that we built. And one day they're going to thank God for the seed that someone else sowed. That's what this season's all about. We're building not just for us, but through us, for those who are not here yet. See, when the world says live for now, God says, no, build for tomorrow. When culture says spend it all, comfort, says no, store it up in heaven. Contribution. When the world says make your name great, you got to look good, everyone's looking at you, you got the right clothes on, drive the right car, make your name great, God says make my name great. Proverbs 13:22, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children and their children's children. And that inheritance isn't just financial, it's spiritual. When you give, when you serve, when you stay faithful, you're writing your name into the story of God. So let us be that generation. Let us be the generation that says we will not consume, we will contribute. We will not live for this moment, we will live for a mission. We will not chase luxury, we will build a legacy. Because we are the generation building for the next generation that we may never see. Let this be written. Not for our comfort, not for our convenience, but for a future generation who will one day lift up their hands and they will praise God because you are faithful and you are fruitful. Amen. Can I pray for you? Just want to take a moment. and ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you through this message. There is a response moment coming. So I just take this moment, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me through this message? What is my response? And just be quiet and be still and see what he says to you. Father, I'm just thankful that people have gone before us and have planted seeds. I've been in a lot of church buildings. But Lord, people were faithful and they were generous. And because of the seeds they sowed, we got to reap a harvest. Lord, I thank you for our church. Thank you for your people who are so generous, have a heart to give. I just thank you for what you're doing in all of us, God. May we be a church that is faithful and fruitful. I'm asking that, God, that we would be faithful and fruitful. So, Lord, I thank you for speaking to every one of us. I want to pray for those who have never made a decision to follow Jesus, to commit their lives to Jesus. That's why we do all of this, so that you can have an opportunity to know God. So right where you're at, if you've never made a decision to trust God, to commit your life to Him, to pledge your allegiance to Him, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Right where you're at, pray this to God. Say, God, today I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I want to follow Him the rest of my life. I take on His faith and I do what Jesus would do. And I'll live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer? Amen.